share some truth from the Bible this morning, speaking about Jesus Christ, who he is, his love for us, speaking about God. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it's amazing today that God designed us. But it's pretty obvious as well. As you look around, you see people with two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two ears. We're all the same all around the planet. If evolution was true, we'd all be different. We'd all be of the process of random chance. And yet God designed us. God made us. Beyond that, we have individuality. We have personality. There's nobody like you anywhere in the world. And who you are is not your body. Who you are is your soul. You can have a new heart. You get a heart transplant. You can get a fixed heart, I guess, in these days. But no matter what that is, you're not going to get off that offering table and say, oink, because you are a person. Your person is not your body. Who you are is your soul. Your body is just a vehicle. It's a vehicle that God has given to us in life. It's a vehicle that has an end date. The Bible says it's appointed to men once to die, but after that, the judgment. The biggest thing that we need as people is to have our soul ready to enter into that place with God for all eternity. I want you to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The problem today is the vast majority of people want nothing to do with God, want to turn their back on the grace of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of the Creator, Designer that made them and gave them the life that they have, the work that they have, the employment that they have, the finance that they have, the family that they have. And rather than thank God for that, many people today just blaspheme God and mock God and curse God. And yet despite that, God in heaven is reaching out today and his love for us. The Bible says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, without Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. I speak to a lot of people about God. I speak to them about Jesus Christ. And they'll say something to me about their eternity. They'll say something like, nobody can know for sure if they die, they'll go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we can know for sure that we're going to heaven if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Just like that thief on the cross that was dying next to the Lord Jesus Christ, who repented of his sin, put his faith in the Son of God, he cried out and he said, Lord, remember me in paradise. Jesus looked at him and said, behold, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, friend, you know for sure today if you died, you go to heaven. Has there ever been a time where you personally have put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says about Jesus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, that medical symbol that we see today of the cross with the serpent on it is from an Old Testament story where God judged his people with poisonous snakes and yet gave them mercy by putting a bronze serpent up on a pole. Those that would look in faith at that could be saved of the deadly wound that they received from the serpent's bite. You know, many of us today, or all of us today, have been bitten by that perfect sin, and that sin is taking us to hell. It's deadly. All of us have to look in faith at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cross where our Savior paid the price for our sin. Friends, the greatest words ever uttered by Jesus Christ on the cross, from our perspective, are those three words that are recorded in scriptures at the end of the death of the Lord Jesus, where he said, it is finished. Those words being paid in full. That means today that you don't have to become religious to go to heaven. You don't have to do good works to go to heaven. You don't have to be christened or baptized to go to heaven. In fact, the Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. All you and I have to do by the grace of God is to reach out in love to the God that designed us, the God that gave us everything, that sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and take that gift that God gave freely when his Son died. Friend, have you ever done that? There's been a time where you did what the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, when it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you said to me today, Ben, why can't I go to heaven? The reason we can't go to heaven is because of our sin. Our sin separates us from God, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned against God, they were ashamed of their nakedness, they hid themselves. God came down to the garden to walk with them and had to say, Adam and Eve, where are you? To convict them of their transgression against him. Their sin separated them from God. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friend, the vast majority of people passing this place today are like sheep not having a shepherd. They're like sheep that are being destroyed by the things that are about them. They don't have the safety of the flock. They don't have the safety of the shepherd. They don't have the good care of the shepherd. They don't have the provision of the shepherd. And that's how Jesus would view this world today as he would look at the scene here on Princess Street in Edinburgh. He would see in sorrow hearts of men that don't have anything to guide them, don't have anything to lead them. Friend, I'll just say to you, the drugs that you're following, they're not going to lead you to heaven. The drink that you're following, it's not going to lead you to heaven. The profanity that's in your mouth and the ungodliness that's in your heart and the pornography that you're viewing and the immorality or the lust that's in your life, those things are not going to take you to heaven. They will take you to hell. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we earn because of our sin against the Holy God is eternity in a lake of fire. The Bible says it this way, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Friend, are you ready to stand before God and give an account to God for your life? The Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Just go to a football match today, and you'll hear profanity again and again and again and again. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Friend, beyond that, all the deeds that you've done that have been against God, the blaspheme that's been in your life, the ungodliness of unbelief that's been in your life, the unthankfulness and unholiness that has been in your life, all these things are damnable. The God in heaven that wants to save you is going to look at you. If you die in your sin, he's going to say, depart from me, cursed, through the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Friend, God doesn't want to do that. That's why his son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross to die for you. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commendeth, God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, it's amazing today. You never think about God. You never thank God for anything. And yet God in his love, knowing that you would die and go to hell, sent his son, his only son, his beloved son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross for you. But that wasn't the creation of Jesus. That was in the beginning of Jesus. Jesus is God in flesh. The Bible calls him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sins. He is the creator, designer, God. The Bible says without him was not anything made that was made. Friend, he is God in flesh. He became flesh so that he could die a sinless life on the cross for you. Why was it important that he be sinless? Because if he had died in his sin, he would have died for his sin. But the Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As I said earlier, the one thing keeping you out of heaven is your sin. What you need is righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't make it happen in your life. The Bible says, though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. All the ungodliness that you've ever committed, all the ungodly things that you said, all the ungodly things that you thought, everything is there, is recorded by God in a book, and someday the dead, small and great, are going to stand before God, and they're going to give account for their life before a holy God. Friend, those words, prepare to meet thy God, are actually good words. They're words that make us think about life and think, you know, what am I living my life for? A lot of people are living their life for sport. They're living their life for music. They're living their life for pleasure. They're living their life for drugs and drink and immorality and fornication. And it's empty, and it's empty, and it's empty. Those things will never satisfy. But God stands ready to meet the need that is innermost in your life. Maybe a need that today nobody else knows about. There's going to be people passing this point today that are suicidal. Nobody else would know. Nobody else would suspect. They might already have an instrument of death in their home, and they've been contemplating it, thinking about it. I would just say to a person like that, look, there is hope. It's not in psychology, it's not in medicine, it's not in a relationship or something like that that might have disappointed you, or in business or in work or things like that. Satisfaction is found in God. Satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. There is a purpose to life. There's a higher purpose than most people are living their life for. Just think, at your funeral, do you want it to be said of you? You know, they were a great fan. They were supporters of this football team. And, you know, they were really dedicated or something like that. Isn't that kind of empty at someone's funeral to hear what a great sports fan they were? But you know, it's encouraging that somebody's female to hear that they love God, that they walk with God, that they raised their family in the fear of God, that they knew the Bible, that they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they were prepared to die, because the Bible says for a believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to those that were saved, he said, look, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And God is designing a precious place, a perfect place. People say to me today, you know, hey, Ben, I don't want to live forever. This world is rough. It's tough. There's death, sorrow, sickness, and heartache, and war, and all these things. I'll just say to you today, you know what? Heaven is not like that. Heaven is a perfect place. The Bible says that he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Those that enter into his presence, there's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more sin in heaven. Look, it's a perfect place. It's an eternal place. Friend, that's where we need to go. But again, I just question today. Do you know anything about God? Do you know anything about Jesus Christ? God has given us a precious book. It's the Bible. You might say, then why do you believe the Bible? It's the Word of God. This book has prophecy in it. It says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You say to me, Ben, what's the big deal about that? Of course, the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ's death. Yes, but Isaiah 53 was written 650 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for our sin. In Psalm 22 in the Bible, the Psalm before the Shepherd Psalm, you might know, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Psalm 23. The Psalm 22, it says in that text, it says they pierced his hands and his feet. It says they cast lots upon his vesture. It says dogs have compassed me about. The Jews would call Gentiles dogs. And it was the Romans that put Jesus Christ on the cross. But that's 1,000 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's pretty specific. They pierced his hands and his feet. Friend, this book has scientific foresight in it. The Bible, way before Jesus Christ set the circle of the earth, way before man found out, the Bible said he handed the earth upon nothing. There's truth in this book that cannot be repeated as being divine truth, because there's no way that man could know it ahead of time. Beyond that, this book is always outsold every book every year. Men have tried to destroy and get rid of this book, but they've never been able to do it. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. It's been recognized for what it is, the very Word of God. It's about the most famous person in human history. It doesn't matter today if you're an atheist or not, or maybe you're a different religion than those that would call themselves Christian. But I'll tell you this, nobody can deny that Jesus Christ is the most famous person in human history. We celebrate his birthday every year. We date our calendar by his life. When people take the name of God in vain, they do not say Buddha, they do not say Hare Krishna, they do not say Muhammad, but they do say Jesus Christ and Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God that came to this world, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for our sin. And friend, it's an amazing thing today that God would knock at your heart's door and speak to you about himself. And yet that's what the Word of God says. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you think about it, we fellowship around the table. That's what's sad about modern life. It's so busy. Families don't sit down and eat together. Eating is a precious time of fellowship. It's a time to enjoy a conversation and to really spend time with somebody. And Jesus stands at the door. He knocks at the heart's door of people today. And he says, look, I just want to come in. I just want to get to know you. I want you to know that I'm real. A lot of people say to me as an atheist, hey, there is no God. Your God doesn't exist. So I just look at them and say, you know, when you're eating an apple, nobody can tell you there is no apple. And I'll tell you, the Word of God says this, taste and you'll see that the Lord is good. The reason today that you don't have an appetite for God is you've never tasted of the goodness of God. You've never tasted of the mercy of God. If you're saved today, you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're born again, you know what I'm speaking about. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of the things that's new, where before you got saved, reading the Bible, it was like reading a phone book. But after you get saved, it's like a love letter. It begins to speak to your heart. The Word of God begins to open up. Why? Because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You can look at these days, again, I don't care. The Bible to me, it's like a foreign language. I'll just tell you that. It's like trying to listen to the radio and not having a receiver. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before you're ever be able to really understand this book and what it teaches. Oh, friend, do you believe in God today? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why is an atheist so foolish? It'd be like this, being out in the Firth of Forth and you're sinking, you know, and you deny that there's a rescuer. Deny the lifeboat is there. Deny the helicopter is there. And you say there is no anything like that. To reject God and to reject Jesus Christ is to reject the only way of salvation. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not a way. He's not one of the ways. Jesus Christ is exclusive today. It's only the way of Christ that saves. Salvation is not found in a religion. Salvation is not found in somebody else. Salvation is found in one name and one name alone. The Bible says there's no other name given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. I'll tell you this today. Salvation, though it is as a good idea of man to obey the gospel, is still a command. God has commanded all people everywhere to repent. He has commanded us to deal with the sin that has separated us from him. That sin that you hold on to, that you're addicted to, that is just a part of your life. Maybe nobody else knows about it. The pornography addiction, the drug addiction, the drink addiction, the gambling addiction, the immorality addiction. All those things are in people's lives today, and those things are damning. Those things are bondage. Those things are the things that somebody looks at in their life and look at themselves in the mirror and they go, I wish I hadn't destroyed my family with my immorality. I wish I hadn't destroyed my family with my drugs or my drink or my gambling or things like that. And if you stop and think about it, what does gambling, drugs, drinking, all those things, what do they get you? They get you in debt. They hurt your health. They hurt your relationships. They defile your life. They destroy your career. I mean, all these things hurt, and yet what does our world do? People pat you on the back and say, that's great if you drink. They pat you on the back, hey, you're courageous to take that drug. They pat you on the back, say, you're sexually immoral. Hey, that's great, good for you. Instead of being honest and saying, you know what? That's the thing that's going to destroy your life. That's what's so sad about the world in which we live. You have people that will parade in the streets for deep ungodliness, and they'll lift up that which is destroying families, destroying relationships, destroying lives. They're teaching our kids sexual impurity. They're teaching our kids even to question their birth gender and that they can be whatever they want to be. And we have an identity crisis that's taking place here in Scotland. We've got young people that are very confused because they don't have parents that will tell them the basic truth about life and be firm with what the Word of God says. Male and female created in them. True about what the Word of God says about marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his parents and shall cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Fornication is not marriage. Living together and sharing a bed with someone is not marriage. Shacking up with somebody is not marriage. Our world equates it and says that is equal. To be a partner is the same as being a wife or a husband. Listen, it's just not so. God didn't create it that way. Why? Because we have children that are growing up with siblings that have different moms, different dads, different moms, different dads. They have parents that aren't together. They have parents that aren't in a covenant relationship with one another. It's destroying the family unit, the basic building block of life. You know what we ought to parade on the streets? We ought to parade those that have been married 40 years, those that have been married 45 years, those that have been married 50 years, those that were pure and guarded their virginity before they got married. We ought to lift that up as honorable in the eyes of our young people. We ought to begin to teach them values instead of teaching them sexual immorality and sexual impurity. Instead of our government and our social media and our educators defiling the hearts of our kids, we ought to wake up as a society and say, hey, what's that about? Why aren't we teaching our kids purity? Why aren't we guarding our kids from immodesty and pornography and ungodliness? And as parents, taking the responsibility that God has given to us to begin to teach our kids morality, teach our kids the Word of God. You know, I just tell you today, you might not know where to start as a parent. Just pick up a Bible. Begin to read it for yourself. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, you begin to pick up this book, and the Bible says at the end of the book of John, a great place to read. If you've never read any of the Bible, it says that these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But there's coming a day where he's going to come back in wrath. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. I just encourage you today, if you never thought about God, look around at what's happening in the world and pick up the Bible and begin to read the book of Revelation. You know, it says in Revelation. It says in Revelation that there's going to be a one world government, that there's going to be a one world economy, that there's going to be a one world religion. You know what's happening in our day? The Bible says that to buy or sell, you're going to have a mark in your hand or in your forehead. You know, today, again, it's happening. It's happening in our day. These things are happening. You know, we know today they can put a chip in somebody's hand. We know that they can put a chip beneath the skin, and that with that chip you can buy or sell. Look, the Bible in the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago spoke about those kind of things. Again, I just encourage you to pick it up. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that a society that rejects God is a society that's going to be noted for their homosexuality. You know, if our society isn't noted for homosexuality today, I don't know what we're noted for. That's all that's in the media. That is all that is in our educators' hearts and minds. You go to our schools, and you got the gay pride flag that is flying there at those schools. 2,000 years ago, the Word of God said in the book of Romans that a society that turns its back on God is going to be a society that is given to that sin. Again, those kind of things ought to make us pause. We ought to stop and consider and say, you know what? How could this just be a book that's written by men when it has things like that in the Word of God? You know why we need to recognize today that sexual sin is sexual sin, and that transgenderism is sin, and lesbianism is sin, and sodomy is sin, and fornication is sin, and lies are sin? Why is it so important that we wake up as a society and recognize sin for what it is? Because if we don't identify the cancer, we won't get the cure. Without recognizing today the deep sin that is in our hearts and in our lives against the Holy God, there's going to be no need to repent. There's nothing to repent of. But the Bible commands us to repent. Why? Because our sin separates us from God. You might wonder today, well, Ben, what is sin? The Bible says sin is a transgression of the law. It's anything you say, think, or do that violates God's law. And I'll tell you today, God doesn't just know what you say and what you do. God knows the innermost thoughts of your heart. God knows the wickedness that is there in somebody's heart, whether that is wicked thoughts and wicked considerations, or hate or anger or bitterness or all those things. That is sin, and sin separates us from God. Again, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, lust conceives sin, and sin conceives death. Why go down that path? Why walk in a path that so many have lost their lives, they've lost their family, they've lost their health in those paths of drugs, drink, immorality, profanity, ungodliness? Why not be somebody that breaks the cycle, that picks up a Bible, begins to read it, begins to understand the love of God for us? Verses like Romans 5:8 that says, but God commended, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friend, I can tell you today, it doesn't matter what you've ever done against God, God stands ready to extend mercy to you. God can take away the sin that's in your life. God can give you victory over the sin that you look at and say, I just can't get victory over the drugs, the drink, the immorality, things like that. God has the power to set you free. Jesus Christ died so that you could be free. The Bible says about Jesus, he came to give us life, and he came to give it to us more abundantly. If you said to me today, Ben, what's the best thing about salvation? Your sins are forgiven. You receive God's gift of everlasting life. And God gives you mercy. And God gives you help. All right? And that's what we need. We need God's forgiveness. We need God's mercy. We need God's grace. We need eternal life. You know, we've got millionaires today that are doing really crazy stuff to extend their life and getting all these jabs and you know, doing all these health kicks and eating certain things, trying to get the longest life they can possibly get. I'll just say this, no matter how long somebody tries to prolong their life, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. It doesn't matter if you die at 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. We know this, death is coming. Friend, are you ready to die? Again, for a believer, they're ready to die. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My dad's health isn't that great. My dad's in hospital right now. I don't know how long my dad has. But I know this, that my dad's born again. My dad knows for sure if he died, he'd go to heaven. My dad is still trusting in God, you know? And it's a great thing to have God in your life, not as a crutch. I'll tell you this, the Bible and God is not a crutch, it's a cross. You try to pick up a Bible, read it on the bus and see what happens. Open it up with your family and see how your family treats you. Go to church and see how that goes down with your mates. They're gonna make fun of you, they're gonna mock you, maybe gonna curse you, but I'll tell you this, it's worth identifying with Jesus Christ, the one that died naked, as if he was a thief on a cross for you. Jesus Christ suffered shame for you. He suffered pain for you. More than that, he suffered the separation of God from you. Remember on the cross, Jesus cried out those words? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would he say that? Because he was suffering the punishment of hell for us. You know, somebody in hell, the worst thing about hell is that God is not there. You know, in life, I praise God today, there's mercy for anybody today. Anybody today can get on their knees before a holy God and cry out to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And I, based on the truth of the Word of God, I can say to somebody like that, look, you could be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, praise God for that. But somebody in hell is forever separated from God. There's never going to be an opportunity, no do-over. Nobody gets to die and say, look, I'd really like to go back and learn about the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It's too late. And so what do we need to do? We need to pick up a Bible, begin to read it. You again might say to me, Ben, you don't understand. I've been an atheist. I was raised by atheists. There's no way that I could come to faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's for those that will begin to seek. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me, if you search with all your heart. All somebody has to do is look for God like they look for other things. If you think about it, people are looking for happiness at the end of a bottle. They work all week, spend their money on their drink, drink it up, and get abused by it. But, I mean, they're worshiping that, and they're living for that. Other people at sport, they're spending all their money on that, and they're dedicated to that. And if their team wins, they're happy. If their team loses, they're distraught. There's a lot of things that our life is about. I'll just say this. Turn your life around. Make it about God. Seek God. You know what I offer today is more valuable than gold, bricks, or things like that. It's eternal life by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sin. Well, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time when you repented of your sin and put your faith in the Son of God who died on the cross for you? It's a gift that passes all gifts. It's amazing today that there's going to be people that die and go to hell despite the fact that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, went to the cross for them and paid the price for their sin. Again, I'll just tell you today, friends, you can come to faith in God. I've got people in my church that 2 years ago, they were atheists. They had nothing to do with God. One man that is in my church right now, when I knocked on his door, he said, look, I know what you're about. I want nothing to do with you. You'd think, oh, there's no way that guy could get saved. I praise God. He's the guy that welcomes you if you come visit my church. He's the guy that shakes your hand as you come into the building because he's received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He knows what it is to be forgiven. He's tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. There are many people like that, that in their life they had nothing to do with God. They didn't know God, but they found God by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Again, friends, it's not about a religion. I'm a Baptist, but it's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Protestant. It's not about anything like that. It is about the truth of the Word of God. It is about, thus saith the Lord. It is about judging religion, not by what that religion teaches, but what the Bible teaches about that religion. Friend, God's given us a guidebook for life. He's given us a manual. You know, our church is by IKEA. You know, if I bought something at IKEA, I would never try to put a flat pack together without the instructions. That would be foolish. A lot of people today try to put their life together without the manual that the designer gave to us, the very word of God. Friend, this book is true. The Bible says every word of God is pure. This book has been purified by the hand of Almighty God. This is something that God gave and not men. That's why we can say, thus saith the Lord. And what God says about our lives is what matters. It doesn't matter what a politician says about your life. It doesn't matter what social media says about your life. It doesn't matter what the educators say about your life. I'll tell you this, what matters is what God says. When you stand before God, you're standing before the one that created you, designed you, sent his son to die for you. Just imagine that as you stand before him, you say to God, God, I'm sorry, I didn't know about you. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. You know that eclipse that took place just over a week ago. It's just a testimony that there is a God. How can evolution do something like that? A perfect sphere going across another perfect sphere and eclipsing it perfectly so that the world stands in awe of that cosmic event that is taking place. Listen, why does that happen? Because there's a God in heaven. There's a God that designed it. There's a God that made it. It's more accurate than the most accurate clock. Time, we've got timepieces on our hand. This world is an incredible timepiece that has been created by a designer God. If we're closer to the sun, we burn up. Further away, we have ice ages. God has put us in just the right thing. Closer to the moon, and we have tides that overwhelm our cities. Further away, and our water isn't cleansed. God has done it. He's done it just right. Why is that there? So that anybody can wake up and look at it and say, there's got to be a God. We get oxygen through photosynthesis. The plants and the trees converting that into oxygen for us. You know, we could say, well, hey, we're really lucky. Glad that works. Or we can look at that and say, I think somebody designed that. That's what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the one that designed it. He's the one that made it. That's why he's the lawgiver. He's the one that can say, don't do that. Why? Because that's going to hurt you. That's going to destroy you. I've asked young people, hey, name one sin that's good for you. I had a girl take me up on that. She said, stealing from the rich to give to the poor. I stepped forward and I said, I guess you won't mind if I take your necklace then. Of course, she pulled back. Why? Because that sin is going to hurt her. Sin always hurts. You steal from somebody, you took that which they needed, that which they had, you robbed them. You hurt them. People today that shoplift, who they hurt? They hurt us as consumers. We're paying more because there's people that are stealing. Sin always hurts. Try to name one sin that helps. There's not a single one. You commit sexual sin, you get STDs. That's a reality. You commit sexual sin, you destroy your marriage. You destroy your family. And so there is no sin that benefits. All sin destroys. What does God desire to do today? God desires to set you free from your sin. God desires to give you victory over sin. God desires not just to cover your sin. God desires to take your sin away by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God doesn't want you to continue in your sin. God does not want that stain to be on your heart. He doesn't want that guilt that's there, that nags at you, that testifies to you of the deep ungodliness that is in your heart. God desires to take it away and to cleanse you. Friend, it's awesome to have your sins taken away. It's awesome to be forgiven. It's awesome to have that burden that was on your back that you didn't even know about because you've been carrying it for so long and you wonder why life was so tough and so rough. And it's the ungodliness that is in your life that God desires to take away through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. You might have wondered, hey Ben, what's the Old Testament about? All those sacrifices, you know, they're sacrificing animals. What's that about? It's about a picture. A picture of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that would die on the cross for our sin. And when his blood was poured out, it was perfect blood. It was pure blood. You know, there was scientific foresight there in the Bible when it said the life is in the blood. We didn't know that, but God did. Jesus Christ gave his life's blood. Why did he do that? And he shed his perfect blood to cleanse us from the defilement that is in our life and to give us the gift that God desires to give more than anything, and that is the gift of life found in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, the Word of God says about Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I can't look at you today and say, hey, that's fine, just stay in your atheism. Hey, that's fine, just stay in that religion, whether that's Islam or Catholicism or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever it is. I can't stand here today and say that's fine, that's equal to Christ and Christ's gospel. It's not. The Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Few there be that find it. There are very few people today that are going against the crowd. I'll just tell you today, I would say 98% of Scots in reality are atheists. They live their life as if there is no God. If they wouldn't call themselves atheists, they take God's name in vain. They live ungodly just like everybody else. They try to say maybe they believe in God, but they don't walk in the fear of God. They don't know the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not faithful to go to the house of God on the Lord's Day. And really, that's the society that we live in. We live in a society that has forgotten where she comes from. In the 1800s, there was no nation like Scotland as far as Christianity. You just stop and think about it today. You know people named David, Benjamin, Joseph, John, Mark. Why do you know them? Because they have Bible names that were given to them by parents that had the fear of God in their heart. This was a Christian nation. Just look around. You see church buildings everywhere in Scotland. Very sadly today, a lot of those have become pubs or other places of the godliness. They're no longer places of light, places of truth. We live in a very, very dark world. The Bible says about that, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, and that's the reality about our society. Why are we trying to push God out? Why do we want to silence the Bible? Why do we want to silence the voice of the Word of God? Because this Bible speaks about marriage as between one man and one woman for life. This Bible condemns the sin of homosexuality. This Bible defends the life of the unborn in the womb of their mother. And why do people despise that? Why do they want to get rid of that? Because of what the Word of God says. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the sad thing about that is, if we continue on that path, it's a path of destruction. It's a path that destroys. That's why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came. He came to die on the cross for our sin. He came to pay the price so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could receive God's gift of everlasting life. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a little child, as I heard my dad preach a message on hell about being a fire, eternal separation from God. The sounds that you hear in hell would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, people laugh about hell, but laughing about hell is like standing outside of a burning car and laughing at the people that are burning inside of it. There are people today in the fires of hell that would cry out and say, send somebody back to warn my family not to come here, to warn my neighbor not to come here. And to make a mock of hell is to mock the person that's there for all eternity. Friend, hell is real. I realized that as a little kid. And I recognized that Jesus Christ died for me. And as a little boy, I bowed my head and I prayed something like this. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin and save me. And God did, by the grace of God, God gave me his gift of everlasting life. I can tell you today, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a good person, though I try to be. It's not because I'm married, though I am. It's not because I'm a father. I've got six kids that God blessed me with, but you know, that doesn't do it. I'm a minister, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor. You know, that doesn't get me in. The Bible says there's nothing that we could do to earn salvation. You could be religious, you could be Christian, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take away your sin. The Bible says, though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. And so what could we do? The only thing that we could do is look up to God and say, God, I need mercy. I don't deserve it. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to pay for my sin, because your word says the wages of sin is death. But your son, Jesus Christ, died for me. And you can cry out to God and say, God, I believe that. But I'll tell you this, Salvation is not just a prayer, because there are a lot of people today that will just with empty words open their mouth and say a prayer just in the chance that there is a God, just in the chance that Jesus Christ and his gospel is true. But I'll tell you this, if you don't believe it in your heart and you don't mean it from your lips, it is meaningless to pray to God. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Before you can pray to God, you got to believe in who God is. You got to believe that he's the creator. You got to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died on the cross for your sin. You have to look at the cross and understand that that's the only way. It's not a way. It's not a good way. It is the only way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And friend, if you haven't walked down that path, I'll just tell you this. Every step you're taking is a step closer to hell. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. God desires you to know that. God wants you to know for sure, as you lay your head on your pillow tonight, that your sin is taken away, that you receive God's gift of everlasting life. Oh, friend, have you done that? Has there ever been a point in your life where you woke up to the fact that there is a God? Where you began to think thoughts that you never thought before? And I've got people in my church like this, people that 2 years ago or a year ago even would have said to you, there is no way that I'll be in church. There's no way that I'll be reading the Bible. There's no way that I would put my faith in Jesus Christ. There's no way that I would be baptized as an adult and go under the water and come back up. But I'll tell you this, there are people today that have done that very thing because in their heart they began to think about it and began to realize that there has to be a God. And because there is a God, the Bible is the Word of God. And because the Bible is the Word of God, I need to find a way that the Word of God speaks about when it speaks about salvation. And the Bible says salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, Ben, why do you do this? Why do you get down on the street? Why do you preach? Because I let the Lord Jesus Christ look at you and I think, man, you know, I've received God's gift of everlasting life. I have hope. I have peace. I have joy. I've got all these things. But the vast majority of people in our world today don't have those things. Their life is empty. It's all about drugs, drink, immorality, fornication, the pub culture, the pub scene on the weekend, and it's empty, it doesn't satisfy, it wastes finances, it wastes health, and it wastes relationships. It's destroying family. And so I come down here to share the Word of God, to begin to speak about the love of God and the grace of God. And what Jesus Christ did. Why? Because the vast majority of people aren't going to walk into the church today. Not without some encouragement. I'll just tell you, you know what? You don't have to be religious to go to church. You don't have to know the Bible to go to church. A lot of people think, well, I can't walk into that place. If I walked into that place, you know, lightning would strike or something like that. Let me just encourage you. Step on in. Find a church that believes the Bible. Find a church that's unashamed to say that the Bible says that marriage is between one man and one woman for life. Find a church that's unashamed to say Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Find a church that believes the gospel and the Word of God. Why? Because there's a lot of false churches today. A lot of churches today have come out and said things that unbelievers, or unchurched people, they look at it and they laugh at it. And they go, there's no way I would ever go there because they totally contradict themselves. The Bible says homosexuality is sin, but they say it's okay. The Bible says marriage is between a man and a woman, but they say you can't even, you know, you can be whatever gender you want to be. Somebody ought to look at that and go, hey, you know, by their fruits you shall know them. Understand this, it's not a church that if it doesn't believe the Bible, if it doesn't stand on the truth of the Word of God, if it doesn't teach what the Bible teaches in the first four books of the Bible, it's not going to get it right later on. You might wonder, what does the Bible teach in the first four books? It teaches creation as a direct act of God. It teaches creation as 6 days and the seventh day God rested. You know, friend, the Word of God said that like 3,500 years ago. It's very interesting today. What do we have? We still have a seven-day week. We have 6 days that we work, and then we have a day of rest. Now, the vast majority of people push past that day of rest that God has given, but there's 6 days and there's a day of rest, and that's the way God designed it. That's the way God made it. That's Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, God creates man. God creates man in his image. Man is distinctly different from the animals. Man has a soul that's going to live somewhere forever. Again, I'm speaking about what the world says. The world kicks out creation. The world kicks out the idea that man's made in the image of God, that he's different from the animals. They look at the zoo. And I'll tell you this. The news stories today show the value of our world. They care about a hamster that gets dropped off at Arthur's seat, and it'll be a big news story. But nobody cares about the babies that are being killed in their mother's wombs, that are growing up in homes that are wicked and defiling, teaching them that they could be a boy or a girl or whatever they want to be. It doesn't matter what their birth gender is. Even though, again, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, male and female created he them. I'm speaking about what the world's doing to the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 4. We've got the story of man's sin and restoration to God. And that we're separated from God. And that our sin's a transgression against God. Our world says sin is no big deal. Our sin says sin is okay. Our world says get you a flag, go out on the street, parade it. It doesn't matter. Come on, not only out of the closet, come into the classroom and begin to instruct our children in this ungodliness. But again, the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 says our sin offends a holy God. It separates us from God. You get to Genesis chapter 4, and you find out the only way you can worship God is through a blood sacrifice. God accepted Abel's blood sacrifice. God did not accept Cain's fruit of the field, whatever way Cain wanted to worship God. God said to Cain, look, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. But if you want to live like that, sin lies at the door. You know what he did? He killed his brother. What does false religion still do to true religion? Study it out. In Scotland, go up to the Martyrs Monument at Crass Market. Find the grave of the 18,000 that died for the faith here in Scotland that were put to death in Crass Market. Go to St. Andrews and stand where George Wishart was put to death by the Catholics that hated him and hated his message about the gospel. And again, what has our world done? Our world has said, you can worship God however you want. It doesn't matter that God says it's through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter that it's the way of the blood. And again, you might say, well, Ben, I've been standing here the whole time. What have you been preaching about? I've been preaching on the fact that the foundation of the Word of God is being destroyed by our society. It's being kicked out by the educators. It's being kicked out by the politicians. It's being kicked out by social media. But I'll tell you this, nothing has changed in the Word of God. The Bible says every Word of God is preserved. Now heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said, one jot or one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law until all shall be fulfilled. You might wonder, what's the jot and tittle about? It's the diacritical markings in the Hebrew Old Testament. This book was written in Hebrew, in Aramaic, in Greek, archaic languages. God preserved his word in that way. But I'll say this, nothing has changed in this book. And that law still condemns us. So that somebody today that listens to the government, listens to social media, listens to their mates about, and educators about their sin, and they say, your sin is okay. All that gets is damnation from God, and that's sad. It's sad that as a society, we don't have the courage to stand up and say, look, we need to honor God. We need to fear God. Very sadly today, the vast majority of our young people hear more about Jesus Christ and God at a football match than they do in the church. And what they hear about God, they hear the name of God taken in vain and blasphemed and cursed by their dad, by their granddad, by their mom, by their grand, by their mates, by their friends. But that holy name above all names is the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sin. It is the holy name of the God that created us and the God that designed us. We are people of courage today. People that will stand up for that holy name. That will take that name as a blessed name. And not curse those that abuse it. But confront them that abuse it. And say, why do you mock my God? Why do you curse my God? Why do you blaspheme the name of the one that loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sin? Well, friend, that's us. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It is through what Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross for us that you could be saved. The Bible says there's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Salvation is not in Catholicism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, or something like that. Salvation is in one person. It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, friend, do you know him today? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you guys go to heaven. Has there ever been a time where you humbled your heart and you repented of your sin? And I'll tell you, repentance is to change your mind. It's to wake up and go, God, I'm so sorry. I lived my life as if you didn't exist. I never thank you for my food. I never thank you for my family. I never thank you for my job. I never honored you on your day of the week. I took your day of the week for pleasure, for sport, for things. I've been living an ungodly life. That's what repentance is. Repentance is to change your mind and go, I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be that person that says, if there is a God, I hate him. You know, the sad thing today, an atheist is somebody that not only lives their life as if there is no God, but they would say this, but if there is a God, I blame him for everything that is bad in this world. Yet everything that's bad in this world is a result of man's sin. You said to me, hey Ben, why is the world like this? It's like this because Adam and Eve violated God's law. God said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Our world is like somebody blaming God. You know, that if God was the one that had painted a masterpiece that was there in the art gallery, in the National Gallery, someone came in and sprayed graffiti all over that. We've got tour guides today that walk in and say, look how stupid this painter was that he put that ugliness into his creation. Look, God didn't put it there. Men broke in. They sinned against God. They defiled it. Let's recognize it for what it is, and let's do our part to deal with it. And say, God, I'm so sorry that my sin has marred your creation. I'm so sorry that I've lived my life against you. And to begin to get right with God by recognizing that he's a greater designer, recognizing that he made us, but not only that, but that his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin. Friend, the Son of God went to that cross for you. A lot of people today would say, Ben, there's no way God could love me. There's no way that God cares for my soul. I'll just tell you this, if you want to know the love of God for you, read the Bible. Pick up one of the Gospels. Read about Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record that story about what Jesus did for you. Get into it and recognize that when they took Jesus Christ and they put the crown of thorns on his head, and when they whipped the flesh off his back, and when they mocked him and put that cloth upon his face, and they buffeted him, they spat upon him, they plucked out his beard, they nailed him to the cross. Recognize this, Jesus Christ was doing that for you. It was for you he died on the cross. Why? Because your sin is that stench, that ungodliness, that filth that is in your life that is going to take you to hell. And the only thing God could do was to take a righteous man, the Son of God, and kill him so that you could be forgiven. The Bible says it this way. It pleased the Father to bruise him for us. Stop and think about it. My name's Ben. It pleased the Father to bruise him for Ben. It pleased the Father to bruise him for Mary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did that so you could be saved. He made a way of forgiveness. Father, I pray for the mercy of God for those that have heard the word of God today. Father, I pray for revival. In Edinburgh, I pray for revival. In Scotland, I pray for a day of turning again unto God. I pray for a day where people would wake up to the deep ungodliness that is in our world, be ashamed of the immorality and the wickedness, and repent and get right with God. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
morning, I just have assurance of truth from the Bible. This morning, speaking about God, speaking about Jesus Christ, His grace, His love. You know, I mean, the things that God desires to give is love, hope, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, patience, temperance, those things that are fruits of the Spirit. You know, if you examine your life today, what would you say are the main characteristics of your life? If we're honest, we'd have to say, you know, bitterness, anger, profanity, ungodliness, immorality. You know, I kind of live for drink, I live for drugs, I live for, you know, the god of sport, I live for the god of music. You know, we got music idols and things like that. And the thing is, God designed us to worship. Everybody worships something. What you worship is the thing you spend your time on, you spend your money on, that's the main thing you think about. That's your religion. I mean, you're bowing down to that, you're a slave to that, okay? It's better to worship God, right? The God that designed us, the God that made us, the God that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's amazing to step back from that today and think, wow, you know, God didn't just come for religious people or good people, but Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You meet somebody today that uses profanity all the time, there's people in godliness that's in your life. But you know, praise God, today there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's hope. But I'll tell you this, somebody that dies in their sin, the Bible says in Revelation 20, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Friend, if you're judged according to your works, what are your works going to say? You might say, well, hey, Ben, I'm a good person. I might be an atheist, but I'm a good person. Well, does a good person live their life as if there is no God? Never thanking God for their food? Never taking the time to stop and to think about God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace. Never looking up to the God that made you and saying, God, what's it about? How do I live my life? How do I use my life? Never looking at what God did in His Word when it tells us about Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for our sin. I think you can understand pretty quickly today there's no such thing as a good person. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The vast majority of people I see today are not people that are going to be doing that. People that are honoring God, people that worship God, people that value God, people that teach their children, raise their children in the fear of God. We live in a society, again, that is very godless. A society that only uses God's name as a curse word and lives a life that is a mockery to a holy God that designed us and made us. But and praise God today, that despite that God in His mercy is reaching out. Again, the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing to stop and to just consider, wow, you know, God loves me so much that He would take His Son, His precious Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and put Him into this world and allow Him to live in a sin-cursed world. And He'd been used to the glory of heaven and all the blessings of heaven, but He entered in to a creation that had rebelled against Him. The Bible says about Jesus, without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the designer. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as was in the beginning with God. And that's Jesus Christ. You get down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, you might wonder, why did He come? Jesus Christ came to be our sacrifice. He came to die on the cross for our sin. He came to make a way for us to be forgiven. There was no way outside of Christ for you and I to have God's gift of everlasting life. You might remember that Jesus prayed in the garden before He was taken by the soldiers and taken to the crucifixion. He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He'll sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He's in agony in the garden, and He prays that for 3 hours. And God took His Son, and He put Him on the cross. Why? Because there's no way to be saved outside of Christ. Friend, if good people go to heaven, Jesus didn't have to die. Jesus Christ didn't have to go to the cross. But the thing is, today there's no such thing as a good person. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. I see people today, and I'll say, you know, you might be a happy person, you might be a nice person, you might be a kind person, you might do a lot of good things. But I'll tell you this, I've done prison ministry before, and I've been in prison preaching the word of God to the inmates that are there. And I'll just tell you this, there's a lot of nice people in prison, there's a lot of kind people in prison. Yeah, they made a mistake and they're paying for it. But you know, you look at them and say, hey, we're a pretty good person. And that's us before God. It's not that we're guiltless. It's not that we've never done anything. And if you're honest today, you'd admit that. You know this for sure, that when you stand before God, if you think that your goodness is going to get you into heaven, you, if you're honest, you'd say, you know what? If the law came and stood beside me, and the law said if they ever lied, I'd have to say yes. Have they ever lusted? Yes. Have they ever coveted? Yes. Have they ever taken God's name in vain? Yes. Have they ever been immoral? Yes. And all those things would be yes, yes, yes. And what does that say? Guilty, guilty, guilty before a holy God. All the law is going to do someday when it stands in judgment upon you is condemn you to the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want you to go there. That explains the cross. That explains why Jesus died. That explains why the Creator would enter into his creation, would go to that place and suffer and die for you. I'll tell you this, you might say, Ben, what's the worst thing about the cross? Well, it was painful, we understand that. It was incredibly painful for Jesus Christ to be crucified. It was shameful. People mocked him, they cursed him there. The Son of God that is perfect and pure and righteous, they treated him as if he was deeply ungodly. They stripped his clothing off of him. And yes, so it was painful. It was shameful. But the worst thing about the cross is that God the Father, when he put our sin upon his Son, Jesus Christ, he turned his back on his Son. Jesus Christ, at that point in the crucifixion story, he cries out and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ cried out like that as our sin was put upon him, as he suffered the punishment of hell for us upon the cross. That is the worst thing that Jesus suffered for us, was the separation from God for our sin. And friend, that's the worst thing about hell. The worst thing about hell is God is not there. Somebody could be Osama bin Laden, they could be Saddam Hussein, they could be Hitler in life, but they are still in proximity to God. If they want to cry out for mercy, if they want to get God's forgiveness, they can get it. If they want to repent of their sin, but somebody in hell is separated from God for all eternity. Friend, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. There's no do-overs. Nobody gets to stand at that place and they stand before God and go, wow, there is a God. And they realize that they've lived their life as if there is no God. And then they're sentenced to eternity in hell. Nobody gets to go back and have a do-over. So why is it important that we pick up a Bible to begin to read about Christ, to begin to read about the Savior, the one that died on the cross for our sin? Friend, if you're a parent, are you taking any consideration to the fact that your child without Christ will die and go to hell? If you're married, do you care at all about your spouse that if they die, they go to hell? When you look in the mirror, do you care at all about yourself that you die and you go to hell without Christ? Do you have the courage to pick up a Bible, the mirror of the Word of God, and begin to examine it and to see what it says about your life? Friend, this book is light because this book speaks about Jesus Christ. Our world is full of darkness. There's great darkness in this world, deep ungodliness that is in this world. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Think about your mates. What do they laugh about? They laugh about immorality. They laugh about ungodliness. They don't speak well. They don't speak kindly. They don't speak graciously. They use profanity. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We live in a day that's a defiled day. We live in a day where we need the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before. The vast majority of hearts of those that are passing this place are not regenerate hearts. They're unregenerate hearts. They're hearts that are under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God. You don't have to stay there. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, God does not want you to go to hell. Jesus said, you know, the Bible says, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. The last thing that God desires is for you to die and to go to hell. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. He came, he paid the price so that you could be forgiven, so that your sin could be taken away. Now to understand our sin this morning, we have to acknowledge it for what it is in the sight of God. It doesn't matter today what the politicians say, or the educators say, or the social media says. What matters is, what does God say about our life? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about sin? What does God say about gender identity? What does God say about life in the womb? What does God say about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? Those are the things today that matter. Oh, friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you looked at the cross and you understood that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, went to that cross for you? When you humbled your heart, you looked at the God of heaven and said, I don't understand why you love me so much that you died for me, that you paid the price for my sin, but I repent of my sin and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, you might wonder today, how does somebody get saved? Salvation's by faith. It's by believing God. It's by believing what God says about who he is. It's about believing about what God says about what Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross for your sin, that he paid the price so that you could be forgiven. If you're a believer today, let me encourage you to pick up the command that God gave. Jesus said as he ascended up into heaven, just before that event, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're a believer today, having been born again, receive God's gift of everlasting life, it'd be a sad thing today if your candle is hidden. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I encourage you to pick up gospel tracts. Take opportunity to speak to your friends and family. Begin to speak up for Jesus Christ. You know, this world is brave to come out of the closet and to speak about their sin unashamedly in the public court and on the public concourse. Let's have some believers that are unashamed of the Bible, that will pick up the Bible and begin to read it in public, begin to express it in public, and begin to speak about Jesus Christ. Let's have some defenders of marriage between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship for life, because they looked up the Word of God and what the Bible says about male and female created he them. And it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Let's have some people that would stand with the Word of God and unashamedly parade the Bible in the public, instead of those taking God's emblem, that precious emblem of the rainbow that God put in the cloud to remember that he's not going to, as a reminder to him, never again to send the flood despite the deep ungodliness of men. Let's have some that would pick up the Bible and get that into the open and begin to read that with their family, begin to read that in public, begin to stand for the truth of God. Friend, it's a great day to get back to the Bible. Those that are parents ought to be concerned. We've got primary kids that are being taught sexual impurity in the school. We've got primary kids that aren't being taught the most basic of principles. You're being told you can be whatever gender you want to be, instead of being told, you know, God created us male and female. God gave us our identity. We've got young people that are being perverted in our schools and things like that. Where's the generation that would wake up and begin to pick up the Bible and say, hey, you know what? I think it's time to get back to the truth of God. Where's the generation that would look at what Christ did on the cross for them when he died on the cross so that they could be forgiven, and would point people back to the book of all books, the Word of God, and the hope that God gives by salvation, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, I encourage you, be the one that's different. Don't be with all those that are on their way to hell. Don't be with all those that think the bottle has the answer, the drug has the answer, the immorality has the answer, the piece of paper from the bookie has the answer. Be with those that say, you know what, I just believe that the Bible has the answer. The manual for life that God has given. The truth about Jesus Christ and what he did as he died on the cross for your sin. Again, the Word of God says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, take your word and put it in the hearts of people today in your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen.